3, 2, 1.
What's up, Smucks? Welcome back to the show. Episode 4 here with Andrew, Greg, Will, Ryan Hill, and a very special guest, good friend of mine, retired professional UFC fighter, Ryan LaFlair. How are we doing, guys?
Doing good. Can't be better. We got our first big guest.
Yeah. Very exciting. Ryan, how's quarantine going for you?
Good. Really good. As you can see, I got the behind me. I'm ready to jump.
That's something I got to be on.
I'm ready to make the jump right now, guys.
And we got Wheezy change his picture because he's too cheap to buy a camera. He changed it from Wheezy to now he looks quarantine lion.
Don't be calling out the shots. Just because I look like a lesbian doesn't mean I am.
Okay. We want to get right into the questions for Ryan?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, Ryan, I'm really curious, how did you really get your start in MMA and whichever other fighting that you got involved in? Like, how did you actually, like, get your interest in that to start?
Well, I was always a badass, you know? I used to always
– You seem like it. I see it.
Yeah, I used to always, like, just beat people up. But, you know, I wasn't a bully, but I would take care of business when I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wrestling since I was a kid. I was always a little undersized, you know, so I always had to, you know, fight for my keep, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm from Lindenhurst, and there was a couple older guys that were like getting into MMA, but they were like kind of doing it for the wrong reasons. They were kind of, you know, robbing people on the street and, you know, learning the techniques. They kind of took me under their wing. But, you know, they ended up going to jail and doing bad things with it. And I, you know, ended up going to college, and I took it to the next level. And, you know, then I became in the UFC and
awesome.
Took it there, you know?
Yeah, that's great. That sounds crazy. It's good that like, you didn't go along that bad path. I found that interesting that you really made something out of it, which is hard for a lot of guys to do. Yeah.
Yeah, for awesome. Sure. I mean, you know, it's a lot of work, you know, it's just as much work as someone, you know, wants to be a professional football or baseball player. You know, I got my ass kicked. I did it for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ass kicked, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, only the strong survive type of thing.
Yeah,
definitely. So what was it like going from like Ring of Combat to UFC? Was there like, is it like going from like college football to like the pros? Is there like a big difference between like the talent?
Well, you know, from my, like, I'd say like from my first professional fight, there was a huge difference. But like right before I went to the UFC, I was fighting guys who were in the UFC anyway, you know, like I was fighting, like, you know, that's usually how it goes. You kind of, you know, you always fight someone up to your level. So right before I got signed, I fought a guy who fought Johnny Hendricks, who went toe to toe and lost a split decision to Johnny Hendricks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right before, you know, of two fights before I fought him. So it wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't fighting guys who were bums.
Right.
But I was, you know, I was knocking everyone out. I was 7-0 with all 7 knockouts and submissions. And then, you know,
that's great.
I went to the UFC, and to be honest, like my first fight in the UFC was, you know, was a kind of a bum. It was some kid from Australia. He was all getting all yapping with me, and I fought him in Sweden. My second fight was this guy, Santiago Ponzinibbio, who's ranked like number 4 in the world right now.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. You know, it's definitely insane. Cool to be able to, like, you know, tell your kids that when they're older and stuff like that and carry that with you.
Yeah, I fucked him up too, though.
There we go. We love that.
That's awesome. That. Yeah. Now, wait, I just want to get a little clarification here. So I was seeing, I looked on the official UFC site.
Yeah.
It put your record at 13-3. And then on another 14, one, it said 14-3.
14-3.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. There was like a little discrepancy there. I wanted to hear from you.
Wait, UFC has been at 13-3?
Yeah, the UFC. Yeah, the UFC. Yeah, you gotta contact Dana White. What's going on?
Yeah.
It says 13-3.
Yeah.
On another one, it said 14-3, but I'll definitely take your word for it. You're a badass.
Yeah, they're all sanctioned fights, so there should be no discrepancy there.
I don't know. Dana White's got something going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the question, like the biggest that I have, we've talked about like a couple moments before, but what was like the highest point of your career and like the lowest? Like, the best, most memorable, and then like the worst. Like I wish that didn't happen.
It's easy for the lowest, you know, when you get knocked out cold, it's never, you know, it's an easy low. And of course my first time ever getting knocked out was, not like it happened a lot, but the one time I got knocked out was of course when I fought in Long Island in front of, you know, thousands of my friends. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, me and it was actually that was the day you had that the day of my my graduation party, and me and Dan were sitting down watching it at it because he was like, oh my neighbor's Ryan is fighting today, yeah, but like we watched him, we were like, oh god,
yeah, it sucks
in Long Island too.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I mean, it doesn't affect me as much as people think it affects me. You know what I'm saying? I know what you know what you sign up mm-hmm. for.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen. It happens to everybody, but it's, you know, it's kind of what you make of it afterwards. And I was gotcha. Fine. You know what I mean? Like I was winning the fight, you know, I was beating the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw you were throwing some good punches in there. You're throwing some nice haymakers.
Yeah. It was easy, but you know, it was going, everything goes good until it doesn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
Alex, Oliveira.
Oliveira. Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Ryan, you fought at the first match at the first fight at Barclays Center, UFC 208. The fight pass prelim against Carnero. Speak about like how that affected you. Obviously, I watched the interview a couple times, and you look pretty emotional after the win. And how that just came about.
Which fight you took? My Rowan Carnero fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean. That was like the first fight at the Brooklyn card, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was good. That guy was he was a shit talker too. So I had to put a smacking on him. And then afterwards, he was like talking shit afterwards. But I killed him every single round. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like. But I mean, I'm only mad about my UFC is that I never really finished anybody really in the UFC. I had 7 finishes going into the ring combat.
Yeah.
And I'm going into the UFC, and in the UFC I'm known as being this finisher, and I never had all my wins were all decision wins.
Yeah, yeah. 7 decisions, right? 7 decisions, 4 KOs and 3 submissions.
Yeah, 7 decisions, 4 KO and 3 submissions, yeah.
Mm, wow.
So wins a win though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you bring up like guys who shit talk and everything. Yeah. I'm always curious, like even like in the really big fights, like you see like McGregor. McGregor is obviously probably the biggest shit talker in all of UFC.
Yeah.
So my question is some of that is a good amount of that real or is it fake?
No, I mean it's entertainment, but of course it's fighting, man. You know, what I mean, like you can only talk so much. So I mean, it has to be real. It's not wrestling, you know, because like mm-hmm. you have to eat what you say, and that's really, I mean. If I could go back, I probably would have talked a little more shit because, like, you know, I fought like the best fighters in the world. Every single person I fought was a ranked opponent in the UFC. I never fought any bums, and it never really got me anywhere. You know, I fought Damian Maia in the main event once, but you know, I should have just talked shit. I was always afraid to eat my own words, but you know, sometimes if you go out there and you don't perform, you're gonna eat your own words no matter what.
Yeah.
So you're better off, you know, going out on your sword.
Now, speaking of McGregor, have you met him before? Like, is he really just like a complete douche? And is he actually as good of a fighter as he appears to be?
No, yeah, he's the real deal. I wouldn't say I know. I know him and like I'm friendly with him. But I fought. Me and him both had our UFC debut on the same day. We fought. You know, I was the 5th fight overall, and he was the 6th fight overall. We fought back to back, and I talked to him a bunch of times over there. He was a really nice dude, but that was before he was famous. And then I fought on my last fight was on the same card, was on his cards too. You know, I see him, you know, he seems like a nice guy, but, you know, I think that guy has a talent. He's really mm-hmm. talented. You know? He's really good at promoting the fight. He earns every cent that he makes, you know. I think I don't take anything away from him, you know.
He's really good at hyping up the fight using his trash talking skills. Very, very, very good. And I was going to ask something. Your fighting style, do you just do jiu-jitsu, or have you learned multiple fighting styles? Or
did you watch my fights?
I haven't watched any of the fights, no, because I personally don't know anything about UFC. I'm very much like a, I'm very much noob to this whole sports thing. So
yeah, no one in the UFC can be just one style. You can't be. Yeah, you know, so it's kind of like, it's kind of like saying you're a baseball player, but you could only catch, you know, you can only catch passes that go over your balls that go over your right shoulder. Everything else is kind of like good luck.
Now, for people who, such as me, who don't know those other fighting styles, what are the names of them? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is what I do for a living.
Of course.
So it's kind of like so you got boxing, you got kickboxing. Kickboxing would be like a Muay Thai, which is like the art of eight limbs. So you got you fight with your elbows, your hands, your knees, and your shin. So you know that's eight. You got your eight limbs there, and then you got wrestling.
Of course.
And then you got Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you know, then you really got just the combination of it all. You know, you got the cage wrestling, which is different than everything. But you know, as you see, like the sport develop, you know, it was kind of when UFC first started. It was like, okay, let's see, you know, let's put the karate guy versus the jiu-jitsu guy. Let's put the taekwondo guy versus the, you know, the wrestler. And it was kind of like, in the very beginning, it was like jiu-jitsu was like overcame everything, and the jiu-jitsu guys were killing everybody.
Yeah.
And then the wrestlers started killing the jiu-jitsu guys. And then the strikers started killing the wrestlers. So now, it's the development of the development of this sport. So now, you know, it's kind of like you have to have a little bit of everything. That, you know, the jiu-jitsu guys is kind of just, it's just something. There's a few like specialists that are really good, but now it's like really good strikers with good wrestling that are just fucking everybody up now.
Yeah. So what would you categorize your styles as?
Well, I started. It's funny because I started as a wrestler, and then I got really good at jiu-jitsu, but then towards my last five fights, I was more of a striker, and that's what I focus mostly on my striking, and I'm the head striking coach at my gym all around MMA.
Yeah,
and jiu-jitsu is fun until you learn how to punch, and then punching, it's a lot easier. You don't have to touch anybody, you know.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So we could talk about Dan. Do you want to talk about the island, or do you want to get into 229?
Well, I have 249, one more question. I have one more question for Ryan, real quick, and it sounded like Andrew might as well.
Yeah.
So you know, we mentioned your record and your styles and everything during your career. What are you doing after your career, like post fighting? You mentioned you have the gym. Is there anything else that you're doing right now?
Yeah, I have I have two gyms. They're both Long Island MMA, and then I have my Kava Bar out in Patchogue, which is a pretty interesting thing. You know, I'm the first one in Long Island. No one knows what it is.
Yeah, Dan was telling me a little bit about it. It seems interesting.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. So when I was living in Florida, these bars are all over the place. And it's kind of like a tea. It comes from a pepper plant. So they grind up the root from this tea. And from this plant. And they make, like, I wouldn't say a tea. It's not hot or anything. It kind of almost tastes like mud, but when you drink it, it kind of makes your mouth numb and tingly, and it kind of like it. The feeling is pretty much like having like four beers. So feel nice, but you're not drunk. You know what I mean? Like it's not like disabling your vision or your ability to drive a car and stuff. But you're like, I feel nice. It kind of takes the edge off.
Yeah.
It's a totally natural, cool way of like kind of stepping outside and kind of winding down, you know?
Yeah. No, so I mean, like, coming from UFC and your athletic type of background, is like stepping out into that area of work, like with the leaves, with the tea or whatever it actually is called, does that have like a health benefit kind of?
No, I mean,
no? Or is it just kind of like a fun thing?
Everybody thinks it's like a health thing. I mean, it's healthy. It's healthier than beer and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we have healthy teas there, but like for the most part, you drink this stuff. It's kind of like an alcohol alternative. You know, it's kind of like a hangout spot. You drink that. You drink that in Kratom. I don't know if you know what Kratom is either.
No,
it's like another tea. It's we make it as a tea, but it comes from like the coffee plant. So they grind it up, and it has like a bunch of different like benefits to it. Like it has pain relief benefits, it has like anti-anxiety benefits. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like,
that sounds cool.
It makes you feel nice. I mean, at the end of the day, you take most, like 90% of the people take it because they like the way it makes you feel. You know what I mean? But it also has, you know, it has some, you know, some health benefits as well. You guys got to come in and give it a shot.
Definitely
will do.
Maybe we could even get it onto the podcast, maybe like advertise it a little bit and everything, you help us, we help you kind of thing. And that would be kind of cool. Now, also with the Long Island MMA, is the business actually like, what are you doing right now with the whole COVID-19?
Nothing. I'm losing big time. You know what I mean? That's my stinks. Main income right now. And I've been closed since like mid March. So, you know, we applied for a shitload of loans, but you know, they're giving us pennies, but hopefully they let us open back up pretty soon because these Cuomo guys are big J.O.
Oh, I feel you. I feel you, dude. I feel you.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over this shit. I'm ready to get back to work and fucking you know, I'll take my chances with this disease, whatever it is they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Ryan, we're lucky enough compared to a lot of other people where we have the neighborhood surrounding us where we're not completely isolated like ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still getting rough. I mean, it's taking money out of my pocket, you know. I know a lot of people are cool with getting this unemployment check, a few $100, but you know, I'm not cool with that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. We want to get into a Fight Island a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not really that familiar with. I mean, Dan mentioned that. I don't really know what the hell. So I have a few friends. Obviously, a lot of my friends are still in the UFC still, and you know, this kid Brian Keller, who I train, who's fighting next weekend, and then I got Caitlin Chikagan, who's, you know, who just fought for the belt. She's fighting at the end of the month, but you know. It's not going to be a Fight Island. I'm asking them about it because I don't know anything about it. And they're like, nah, I haven't heard anything. I think it's just, you know,
Dana White bullshit. Trying to promote more fights.
He's probably just trying to build some, you know, people, you know, some shock, you know, stir up some shit.
Exactly, yeah.
Because there was like, when he first mentioned it, it was when, you know, all sports started canceling, like professional sports. Yeah. NBA was the first one, and then college basketball, whatever. And he was saying, listen, like, I'm gonna hold my event no matter what. He was like, even if I have to get an island that's not in the US, I'm gonna hold my fight. And then there was a lot of speculation, and he said it was gonna happen, but he's not saying much about it. There's just been like little bits and pieces of it, so we were wondering if there was any more.
There's no Fight Island. They're having the next two fights. They're having a fight every weekend for the next like 4 weeks.
But
they're in Florida right now, so right now they're having fights in Jacksonville, and then next week they have another fight in Florida. And the following week, and then Caitlin Chikagan, who I just, you know, I was just telling you, she's fight. They booked her a fight, but it says TBD, to be determined where it's going to be. So she's fighting in 3 weeks, and she doesn't even know where it is. But it's not going to be Fight Island. They assured her that it's not going to be Fight Island.
Yeah, because I read a little bit about it today, and I saw that Dana White was kind of using it for like international fighters.
Yeah,
like, right.
They can't go into the U.S. So like they're just setting up a location to where there's
it sounds like an amazing realities. Idea, but who knows if that's gonna go down, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's, you know,
freaking cage fight right on the beach. Like,
well, but I mean, what does the difference make for us? You know, we're gonna be sitting in our living room watching the fight, and we don't care, you know, what's the difference make if it's down the block or if it's in an island or it's in you know, Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
You know, it's gonna look like a fight. It's all the same, you know?
Yeah. All right. Dan?
So we got UFC 249 is coming up tomorrow. There's a bunch of fights. The most shocking one to me was I randomly found out that the ex-defensive end for the Cowboys is in the UFC now, which apparently I was the only person that didn't know that. But we got a couple heads. So, Andrew, you seem to know quite a bit more about the UFC than I do. So why don't you start us off with the 249 card?
I mean, the biggest fight, I mean, I love Henry Cejudo. I want Henry Cejudo to beat Dominic Cruz tomorrow. But the Tony Ferguson fight, sorry, against Gaethje, that's going to be huge. And the Jeremy Stevens fight, that's actually That's the one where everyone knows him because McGregor destroyed him in that press conference.
Who the fuck is this guy?
But Greg Hardy, like Dan mentioned, he's the former Cowboys defensive end, which obviously not many people know about. That's really just to show you that, like, there's so many people in the UFC and there's so many people that actually fight that, like, aren't the big names, like, you know, Conor McGregor and stuff like that. That's why, like, I was, honestly, to be real, like, general, most of the fighters really get no notoriety. And it's good to watch, like, the prelims, you know, give, like, fighters like yourself, Ryan, like, because when people see, like, obviously there's so many fighters to try and watch and, like, narrow down in the UFC. And, like, when you see someone, like, you look at the record, you see your record, it's 7 decisions. That's a lot of hard work. You fought through the whole fight. Then they're obviously they're just looking for knockouts, which you had in the beginning, but then you got the UFC. That's why just trying to figure out, like, who to pick. That's why I just feel like people just should respect, like, prelims and all those fighters too, because most people just don't even watch. You just watch the main card at, like, 10 o'clock.
Right.
But I'm excited to watch tomorrow's fight. You guys, are you watching it?
I'm going to try to watch it.
I got to try and convince my parents.
Yeah.
They control the upstairs TV, and I don't have a cable box right now. So that'll be tough, because when my mom hears the words UFC, she, like, shuts her eyes and runs in the other direction. But
maybe so, Ryan could convince him a little bit.
Yeah, so I would like, Ryan, who's your favorites for tomorrow's fights? Let's start with Cowboy?
Cowboy and Pettis, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Pettis killed him the first time they fought, so I would assume that he'd kill him again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? Cowboy's either comes out and he's on fire and kills the guy, or he gets his ass kicked. But he, you know, being that he got killed by McGregor in like 15 seconds last fight, I'd say he's going to get killed by Pettis again.
Yeah.
I have a quick question that I brought up, you know, before the show started, and I wanted to – do you think Cowboy threw that fight against McGregor? Because it seemed like he got his check signed.
I was there for that. No, I just think that – he's traditionally known as a slow starter. You know, that's his – you know, that's – if you watch any of his fights, he always, you know, opens the fight very flat. And McGregor is the opposite. He always starts to fight, you know –
coming right at you.
He's powerful, he hits hard, and he, I think he shocked him early, and then I just think he flattened him, you know. I don't think he's throwing now.
All right.
Yeah, right, Ryan, real quick, Cowboy said, like, there was, like, quote unquote, like, he said he was like, he didn't want to fight, he, like, showed up, like, he didn't want to fight that, like, he wasn't himself. Like, has that ever happened to you, like, when you entered,
yeah,
like,
of course,
fight night?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say this, but, you know, even that fight in Long Island, I remember just being like, yo, I just want to get the fuck out of here. I remember just fighting that fight just to get my hand raised and get out of there and get my paycheck. I wasn't like, I didn't really care about beating the other guy. I just wanted to get my hand raised. I just remember, like, laying on top of the guy being like, oh, like, only 10 more minutes left.
Man, just wants to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't work out for Cerrone. This isn't a game that, you know, it's not a game, you know. Yeah. It's fighting, you know. No. It's not football. Yeah. You can't have an off day. You have an off day, you pay for it. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah. All right. We got two title bouts tomorrow. The first, we got the bantamweight title bout, Henry Cejudo and Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, Cejudo, yeah.
Cejudo, who do you have? Sorry, my bad.
You know, I don't know, because Cruz, like, only fights, like, once every 2 years. Cruz, I think, if he's in his pinnacle shape, he kills Cejudo. He's a lot bigger than him, too. He's a big, mm-hmm. He's a big 135er, and Cejudo is, like, a small, you know, he's a 125er, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Cejudo is more in his prime. I'd probably give it to Henry.
Gotcha.
And then you got the lightweight. You got the lightweight Tony Ferguson versus
I'm going Ferguson all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put your money on that one. And I also like Vicente Luque, who is a very good friend of mine. He's fighting Nico Price. Put my money on Vicente as well.
All right. If we got any gamblers in here listening to the show, you got your picks. It's gonna be a week late, but you got your picks for next time. Right. So is there anything else you guys want to talk about UFC-wise with Ryan?
No, not that I can really think of.
Maybe something.
Hey, I have one thing, Ryan. I just wanted to know, when did you actually start? Like, what age did you start like getting serious about it and like wanted to start like, yo, I can actually make a career out of this? Because like my boy, my boy wants to do it, and he's been working hard. And also, like, how did your parents react when you like you went to him? You're like, guys, I want to do UFC full time and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I wrestled, you know, my whole life, like I said, and then I wrestled in college too. So what happened was I was wrestling in college, and a lot of guys were getting into it in college, but and then I ended up getting hurt pretty badly in college. So then I had to pull out. I couldn't wrestle anymore because I ruptured my spleen snowboarding, and then I started doing jiu-jitsu. I'd say I was about 18. I was a sophomore in college. So I was like 19. Mm-hmm. And I started doing jiu-jitsu pretty hard, like as soon as I got better. And then I transferred over to Farmingdale. I think
that's where we all got. Rams.
So I played lacrosse at Farmingdale, and then I finished my 4 years at Farmingdale. So like while I was at Farmingdale, I was doing a lot of jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And I opened a clothing line. I started this clothing line called KTFO, which is called Knock the Fuck Out Clothing Line.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was badass. You guys should check it out. It's like all like the big names, like Chuck Liddell and Rich Franklin and all these guys.
Oh, shit.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
So I got involved with it really hard then, even before I was fighting. So then as soon as I graduated, I was like, yo, I'm going at it. So I graduated from Farmdale in like 2006. And I had like my first fight in 2007, and fucking,
that's awesome.
Ever since,
that's so cool.
How'd your parents react? Were they just used to?
So it was funny. I fought this big black kid. My first fight was like in an underground. It was an underground fight. It was like, you know, it wasn't legal in New York, and so that what they did is I went to the Bronx, and they had a gym in the Bronx. You know, like, you know, the streets of the Bronx, and you know, when they close the gym, they take those steel curtains and they close the
front door. Yeah.
So they put everybody in the gym and they close the freaking steel curtains.
That's sketchy. Oh my.
That's insane. That's awesome, though. That's all that.
There was no weigh-ins or nothing. And the dude I fought was wearing like weightlifting gloves, a big black dude. And I came out of freaking like a white supremacist. Not that I'm racist, but I looked. I had a mohawk and shit, and I was like pale white, you know?
And you look like a badass.
Yeah, and the guy was like 10 pounds heavier than me, and I just like fucked him up in like 30 seconds. And my mom was there, and she was like, all right, you can do this.
She came with you? That's pretty cool.
You can do this.
That's so cool.
You got her sold on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more thing from me. I always find like the training, like for whether it be boxing or UFC, like I find it to be very just unorthodox from any other sport at all. Like, is there any like unorthodox training that maybe that you did?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's still like a really new sport. So like,
exactly.
we're still learning it. So like at my level right now, like even when I was coming up, it was like I had a wrestling coach, I had a jiu-jitsu coach, I had a striking coach, I had a, you know, I had a strength and conditioning coach. So like even when I was coming up, there was no such thing as like an all-around coach. But now, like, you know, I'm retired fighting, for the next wave is coming up, and I'm the head coach, and I'm showing them how to do everything. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, and I think essentially, like what you said, I think essentially like, it's really important to like you keep, no one's gonna fight exactly how I fight, you know. So I think it's just kind of like, you know, let people do what the fuck they want to do, and kind of like
do your own thing.
And then you pick up, you say, okay, well, that's not gonna work. You keep doing that, or this, you know, or you add stuff to the game, or you take stuff away from their game, and you know, you develop fighters that way.
That's cool.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Any other questions for Ryan?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah. Well, dude,
thank
you so much.
But I had a blast, man.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, definitely.
We appreciate it.
Awesome. It was awesome. To all the viewers, once this whole pandemic is over, make sure you go to Long Island MMA and go check out Ryan and all that he offers.
Yes, for sure, man.
Yes, that too. Yeah, so go check that out. Ryan, once again, thank you for joining us. It was awesome.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
See you later, bro.
Thank you.
Peace.
All right. That's our first guest
That was successful.
That was great.
Awesome. Sorry, I made really dumb fucking questions, but like.
Yeah. No, you're good, Ryan. You're good.
No, dude.
No, I mean, that's awesome. That was awesome. Like, for the viewers listening, just so you guys know, like, that is Ryan LaFleur. Like, he's not putting on an act to seem, like, just cool for a podcast. Like, I know him on, like, a pretty personal level. He lives across the street from me. Like, we hang out a lot. He's just, like, a really cool, down-to-earth guy who's just, like, he's just one of the guys. And he's, you know, like, I would definitely recommend you guys go. If you're trying to get in shape, like, he knows how to do it. Like, go check out his gyms. And he also knows what, you know, how to run businesses and stuff like that. And he's connected with a lot of people. So go check out his Kava Bar. I will find out the official name of it, and we will let you guys know for when quarantine ends to go check it out and have a good time over there.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, if you want us to have other guests on, let us know. Maybe like you could help us get in contact with them and everything. It's all about connections and everything. And you guys, coming in and helping us too by engaging with us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Am I missing anything?
YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah. Remember Spotify. Instagram. Yeah. Instagram, Twitter is at Long Island, at LI Schmucks. Facebook is at Long Island Schmucks. And then YouTube is Long Island Schmucks. Remember to subscribe, like, comment, turn on post notifications. We got some more stuff to talk about here today. Some big stuff. Yeah. It ain't over. When we have a guest on, we talk about the other stuff that us schmucks usually talk about. So
I think we're going to get into Outer Banks right now. What do we think about that?
Outer Banks. Outer Banks is obviously the hottest show on Netflix right now. It's great. I'm not just saying that because the show. I'm saying that because of Madeline Klein.
I was going to say, is that Madeline pun intended? Klein.
I've also reached out to Chase Stokes to try to get him on here. That would be an absolute dream come true. It's a real long shot, but it'd be freaking awesome.
Hey, you never know.
Listen, you got to take your shots.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Exactly.
Dan, that was actually really good, Dan. I'm so happy.
Okay, so what do we think of the show? I freaking loved it from start to finish.
So I watched that show. Like, I started watching that show. And I was hooked from the first episode to the last episode. And I personally, like, I'm not a huge crier. Like, I fucking fractured my patella tendon or, like, my kneecap or something playing football with you guys. And I played on it for a month and a half, like, refractured it playing volleyball and just walked off the court. But, like, that show, the last episode, I was bawling. I was, like, hysterically crying when the boat flipped over and when Pope and Key and JJ were screaming at
Shoot. Sorry, guys. Spoiler warning.
When they were screaming at Shoop, I was hysterically crying. Like, I couldn't contain it. There was just something about it. Like, that's how good crazy. The show is.
Yeah, well, like, the show, and even, like, I watched, like, a ton of behind-the-scenes things, and the actors really convince you that there's a real friendship there and everything. And I think that's what makes the show the best is I feel like it's so genuine.
Yeah. Because you see them all like hanging out, like outside the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like on all their social media accounts, like you see it and it's so natural. Like I even watched, the actress who played, Key, Madison Bailey. She said in an interview, like, some of the shots that they took, like, at like, the beginning when they were, like, you know, when they were, like, introducing each character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, some of those shots, they didn't even know the camera was there. It was really? Just them, like, just vibing with each other.
That's like, pretty that's, cool, honestly.
That's so sick.
Shows like, you how, like so true cool. that, like yeah. they became, how close they became, like, yeah. during the making of the show.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not common either.
No, it's not. It's only not. On a couple shows that, like, here and there that you'll get that, like, full-on, like, real chemistry between people. They were even, like, the producer I heard was even thinking about doing, like, actual 16-year-olds.
So that was my only thing about the show that I personally didn't like was, you know, Madeline Klein's 22. I don't know how old Chase Stokes is.
He's 27. He's 27
years old.
He's 27.
And you portray him as a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
That was the, like, see, they didn't look 16. Like,
no, they didn't.
Like, I think they did.
That was the only thing I didn't like. You could have had them be 20, Sarah in the show, Madison Klein, Madeline Klein could have been, like, you know, in UNC Chapel Hill. And, you know, Chase could have been like, just like, didn't go to college, you know, JJ didn't go to college. Key was in college. Pope was in college and they were home for the summer, something like that, kind of crazy shit.
Yeah. You know, it could have made sense.
I think they still did a great job with it. I'm super excited for season two to come out. I think they were filming it and it got halted because it's of delayed. This whole virus. But I'm definitely excited for season two to come out. They left it on a great note. Left it on a great note. Everybody's going to be so excited to come back and watch.
So I mean, I've heard like a lot of like different things, like of when, like different dates of when the show could be coming out. I've heard
it's up in the air now.
I've heard December 2020 was the earliest, January or even could be. Oh, is that Papa Kylie? Oh my gosh, we got another guest. Yes,
another guest.
I love it.
You got our guest, baby.
Oh man,
and then. That's Ryan. He doesn't have a camera.
Who's the guy with the mask?
the cheap guy that can't afford a camera.
I love this.
There's the caption. Who's the guy with the mask?
This is great.
My name is Ryan also. So,
hang on. We're putting...
Hey, Ryan.
Missy, come here. We got three guests now. Because
we got the pooch coming on, too?
Are you getting your dog in here? What are you doing?
She's already in here.
How are we doing, Mr. Kylie?
Good. How are we doing?
Good.
All right. We're
good.
Hanging in there.
Good. Doing good. Hanging in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Everybody safe? Family's good?
Everyone's safe. Yeah. Everyone's good. I miss you telling me to – I miss you saying to me, like, fuck you when I come in the house, honestly. I miss it. It was a part of my life. I miss that interaction.
I'm so desperate for reality.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, your families are doing good.
Everyone is well. Everyone's doing good. Yeah.
Good. Say my best to everybody, right?
Thank you, Mr. Kylie. Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll get together soon.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah, all right, so for our viewers, that was Dan's dad.
Thanks,
Mr. Kylie.
Special guest.
He's the best. You're on it.
He's the best. He's the best. Yes, we're recording.
Should the current topic be Dan Kylie's father?
Yes.
Sure.
Wait, do we have to
say? We'll include it in the bio. back to Outer Banks. Back to Outer Banks. I got, like, cut off with that. But what are we thinking for season two?
I think.
Where do we see each character going?
So they're going to end up in Bimini, right? That's where they were going, Bimini, I believe.
Bahamas.
Nassau,
Bahamas.
Okay, which, Bimini's in Bahamas, Greg, but still the Bahamas. Bahamas.
Nassau, Bahamas. There.
So I think they're going to somehow get some gold, get some money, stay at Atlantis, and then they're going to try and smuggle the gold back to the United States.
You think?
Yep.
No.
Or so find a way to connect with Key, Pope, and JJ and get them to come over to Nassau.
Okay. So here's what I think. So obviously, like you have John B. and Sarah Cameron going to Nassau. So they have to try to make it the whole way to Nassau without maybe revealing who they actually are. Because who knows who that crew could be? The crew on the boat, like,
well, they're just a regular boat.
But you don't know. That's the thing. Like you don't actually know, because they could be working with Ward Cameron. Maybe Ward Cameron was smart and split up the gold, and was like, "Hey, I'll put some on a boat, and then put some in the plane." Who knows?
Those international cargo ships don't work like that, though.
It's a freaking show.
I know it's a
Hollywood.
Show.
It's Hollywood.
I know it's a show, but I don't think so. I definitely see them just getting them to Nassau. You know, they stay there.
Yeah.
So
that'll be a cool way to open up the show too.
Definitely
going to Nassau.
That's where they're going.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happens. Yeah. I think they get to Nassau.
Yeah.
They reach out to, like you said, Will, they reach out to Pope, they reach out to
JJ,
and they reach out to JJ, and they get them there, right? But then all of a sudden, I can't remember his name, the psycho dad who killed
Ward Cameron.
Ward Cameron.
So Ward Cameron somehow finds out because like he's rich, there's probably a lot of like, you know, other English speaking people around him in Nassau. Find out, shit, my daughter's alive and she's there with John B. He's going to go down there and it's going to be a whole nother thing of him trying to kill John B with a gaff and people shooting at him left and right because they're going to find out that all the gold is there. Like, that show took a hard turn. When they found John B's dad's compass, they just started getting shot at every 10 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, no, but also, like, the whole, like, JJ, Kia, and Pope, like, they're home, and they think that John B and Sarah are dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's say they don't get any – they don't get into communication because they don't want to call home, and maybe that call gets traced.
No, so but, here's what's gonna happen.
Wait.
All right, go ahead.
So John B and Tara are in Nassau. The ret, like JJ, Pope, and Key are still home, but what if their that whole relationship? John B was the guy who kept them together. He was the glue that held that group together. What if they all just like kind of go there, like almost like drift off? And then John B comes back and they have to find that whole like relationship again.
But he can't come back. He's a wanted fugitive. But,
so now he can come back. But like
why would he?
So also I would like to see the season open on Ward Cameron like getting interrogated.
Yeah, so he's not wanted anymore. He's not wanted anymore. At the end when John B went over the radio and explained everything.
Yeah.
Like, if he was running, he wouldn't lie about it like that. Like, if he was fully going into a storm, like, preparing to most likely die, he's not going to lie at that moment. Like, he's going to tell the truth. So after he confesses all that, you heard Shoop. He, like, turned. He was like, we're going to need to bring you into questioning. And then, like, everything else happened. So I don't think he's the main wanted person anymore, but he doesn't
know. I don't think he may not be wanted in season two. He's going to be a suspect without a doubt. But Ward Cameron is now a suspect in that. Like,
yeah.
Also, you think about like all the other shit that John B pulled. Like, he stole a cop car. He assaulted a bunch of people. Like, he has a bunch of other crimes like on him. That like,
but you know
what's gonna happen with those?
You know what? He might get immunity if you know if the information he gave over the radio helps lead to the two murders, Zad's murder. All that kind of stuff. But so the thing is, you got to remember the show's called Outer Banks, right? Yeah. So if the whole next season takes place in Nassau, it kind of, you know,
I don't think the whole season is going to take place in Nassau.
It diminishes the whole point of the name of the show.
I don't think it's all going to take place in Nassau. I think it may be like one of those, it's going to become one of those series where it switches between like two different locations. Like, they'll film Nassau, but then they'll film Charleston. Like, that's where they film. They film in Charleston, South Carolina. But that's also, like, that may also be the reason why they could come out with it in January 2020 or December, because they could film the beginning in Nassau when all these travel restrictions are kind of, like, changed up. And
it's warmer down there.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, like they could even do that and like kind of switch in the series. But I'm looking forward to season two and everything. So
yeah, let's wrap this up in like two more minutes. So I think that they're gonna connect with JJ Pope and Key through a sat phone.
Yeah, you think?
Dan knows what I'm talking about by sat phone. Andrew, I'm sure does with the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cheap. All those international cargo ships have them. They probably have a few of them.
Yeah. Is that like something that like can't be traced?
I'm sure it can, but like, it's not like a traditional way of calling someone. They're very expensive. They're like a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
It's very expensive to use them. Like just calling, like it's mm-hmm. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're going to reach them. They're not just going to say over the radio, you know, you know, we're here. Because again, they're wanted. They're probably on a U.S. ship. I don't know. It's gonna definitely be interesting. Yeah. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of leaks, though.
Yeah. I can't wait. And then one last thing on the Outer Banks, and then we'll move on to maybe some Giannis or
Earl Thomas,
because that's crazy. So, favorite episode in Outer Banks. Go, Will.
I think when they go to UNC Chapel Hill.
Episode 4. Dude! Applaud you. I love that episode. That episode is great.
You know, it's
I live for Sarah Cameron and John B.
It's when she's really, like, introduced to the show, I would say.
I know, yeah.
And she's really brought in, and it's just an exciting show for them to go to such a big-time college. It shows, like, how her money, like, gets her in, and how, like, she's like, oh, I'll sugar mommy you and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
that's so, oh man.
It's just funny. And then I would probably have to say, like, I don't know. Every episode after that is good because you're so suspenseful to like, okay, where's the gold? What's going to happen with the gold?
Yeah.
They find the episode where they find the gold and then like, you know.
And get shat at by the girl who's blind as a bat.
Yeah. Like I think every episode after that was definitely really good. Not that the beginning ones weren't good. I just think episode 4.
I thought every episode was really good.
Yeah. I just thought episode 4 was like where it really just like took off.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Dan, how about you?
It's between Chapel Hill and just the last episode where you finally see them like get out of that situation and then you find out they die and then you find out they're alive again.
So pretty crazy.
It's between the twists.
Yeah. I would love it would be my dream to get one of these cast members on this, but that'd be awesome. Earl Thomas. Crazy shit.
Dude, that is like the craziest modern day NFL story that I've ever heard.
Like it's definitely insane. Interesting.
So, Andrew, give a little rundown on what happened with Earl Thomas.
All right. So, honestly, we're all, as sports fans, we're chomping at the bit for anything, honestly.
Exactly.
These are the two big stories we have. So, Earl Thomas, he was
– my head.
I actually just pulled up another article that was published 4 hours ago. But apparently, his wife allegedly held him at gunpoint. Honestly, I don't know what to feel about this, but the article I'm reading right now, he apparently, did you guys know he was gifted a flashy necklace by his wife?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Gifted flashy necklace by wife after she allegedly held him at gunpoint. Report. Nice. She
gave him a gift after he slept with a bunch of women.
Chick's crazy.
It's called a flashy necklace, which could mean anything. I don't know. But, you know, he just turned 31. But the biggest things, honestly, it's a crazy story. But the biggest thing right now, Earl Thomas is up for a contract. And will it affect his contract? Will he get cut by the Ravens? What do you guys think?
I don't think so.
I literally just pulled up an article as you were saying that. And the Ravens, from the New York Post, the Ravens are currently trying to cut Earl Thomas.
Yeah. No way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because
like, cheating?
No,
it's not just cheating.
It just brings bad media.
The whole story.
It brings negative media.
That's what they're saying.
Come on. It is the Baltimore Ravens. Like, negative media has surrounded them forever. Like, Ray Lewis
alleged murder.
May or may not have murdered someone.
Right.
You can't get away.
Then you could also talk about, like, Big Ben punching a girl in the face, you know?
Yeah, Big Ben might be a clinical psychopath.
He allegedly sexually assaulted a girl.
Like a million times.
He allegedly punched a girl in the face. Like, he was never cut. He was never suspended.
That would be ridiculous if they cut Earl Thomas.
I don't think they will. At the end of the day, I don't think he's going to get cut.
The thing is there is, like, is there any such thing as bad publicity? Like, I mean...
Yes. Oh, yes. In the NFL, in sports.
So that would really get him cut, like, from
the team?
In the NFL.
Andrew, that's not going to get Washington Capitals.
Like, flash to Antonio Brown.
What? We're talking bad flash. About a guy's wife.
Yep.
Yeah. Flash to AB. He, like, allegedly sexually harassed someone, and Bill Belichick said, get the hell out of my locker room.
Yeah, but he actually did something that was, like, illegal. Earl Thomas did nothing illegal. Yeah. His wife did. His crazy-ass wife did.
That's like,
not him.
That's
not
like,
him.
That's like saying Tom Brady has a friend that kills people, you know?
Exactly.
Like, why would Tom Brady get cut from the, you know, Madden?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
The full story
about this is, I don't know if you guys have heard the full story or if the viewers haven't. So what had happened was, it was like 3-ish in the morning or something like that, and she didn't know where her husband was. So she decides to log into the guy's Snapchat account, and she pinpoints his location. So then she grabs a gun, her sister grabs a knife, and they drive to where he's at, and him and his brother are having an orgy together.
Like, oh, each of them, like,
no, they're like, way,
dude,
bro.
I swear, they're like, they're right at an Airbnb, just like ass naked, just going at it. So, like, you got, like, this situation evolves when you hear that. You got Earl Thomas ass naked, his brother ass naked, two girls. PG
still ain't illegal though. Nothing about that is illegal.
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying PG. Just
bad publicity.
Right. And then you got his wife and his sister-in-law pulling up, one with a gun to his head and the other with a knife, standing there ready to go. Like, what situation is this? This is unbelievable. This is like what you have a bad dream about.
Okay, so the thing is who the fuck? This is my thing. Who the fuck would like tag team some girls with their blood-related brother? Like, I mean,
that's a little messed
like,
up.
That's weird. A little like, that's what weird. The fuck?
That's a little messed up.
Yeah. Maybe he's got a little bit of CTE going on.
Everyone's got a little CTE going on these days.
All right, whatever.
Do you guys know what Earl Thomas had to say about this matter?
I'm sorry.
Quote unquote, it's really not anybody's business. It pisses me off that the story got out. And then instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all prayers.
He can't even speak.
And all he kept saying on like his Instagram live video was like, I'm just trying to get in front of this one. I'm just trying. It's like, no, you're not trying. You are failing because this story was so far in front of you.
Yeah.
Like if a story comes out that you're having, like, take away the gunpoint thing. If you're just right next to your brother, just kind of going at it, like, you're not getting in front of that. Like, there's no way you can get in front of
it. Yeah, it's just
and
weird.
Then you add in a gun. It's just like.
But how do things just change? How does she just give him a necklace probably worth a good chunk of change?
Dude, the woman is insane. That's it. The woman's insane. You gotta cut her off. Just cut her off. That's all you gotta do.
It's like Jay
just
Cutler. Say,
see ya, and that's it. Exactly. Just Jay Cutler. Just clean break. Clean break.
She wanted $5 million for a house, and he's like, go get a job.
God damn.
It's going to make me buy Jay Cutler jersey.
All right. So that's enough of Earl Thomas talk. The other story right now in sports, again, we're chomping at the bit for anything. Giannis, his Twitter account got
hacked.
His Twitter.
What's up, Steph Curry?
His email and his bank account were all hacked. Wow. And he put out I didn't even know. I thought it was just his Twitter.
See, the kid that did it?
All of them were hacked. The phone, the email, the bank accounts, and his Twitter all got hacked.
It was like some 17-year-old kid with like 120 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, anyone can do it these days. And unfortunately, it's someone as big as Giannis like that has all those people that follow him. Like, it can destroy someone. Good thing he got it back so quick.
Yeah.
He put out that apology text to everyone. He's like, I'm back. And everyone like, hey, everybody, like in classic Giannis, what he does.
Yeah, and Giannis wouldn't do that. Like, that's the thing. Like, he would never do that. Like, there's been no history of him doing that. I could see Kevin Durant doing that. But
fake Twitter,
freaking snake.
It's a fake Twitter account.
Yeah, exactly. But I that's the thing. Like, I can't see Giannis like doing that. He seems like such like a good person. Like, he stays out of media really as much as possible. Like, he's never like a negative headline at all. He's never a negative headline. So that's whoever did that is a scumbag.
I was going through the feeds, and like literally like 10 minutes after they found out who did it, bro, people were sending the kid's address. They were like, oh, no, this is a nice neighborhood that you live in. Bro, it's like 6843 like Alabama Avenue. I'll pull it up right now in 2 seconds.
Dude, if you read some of these tweets, like, we can't even say 99% of them on the air. They're horrible. It's like they're like racial slurs. Like, he's attacking people through the like Giannis.
Yeah, pretty messed up.
He was making fun of Kobe's dad.
6653 Alabama Avenue is the kid's address. Nice house, you little shit. someone put this thing up. Oh, hold on, it's not focusing.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Throw in a body bag.
That's hilarious.
Like,
throw
in a body bag.
They're like, "What's good, homie? You ready?"
Another thing about Giannis too, which is, it could potentially be a big story now that, especially since we don't know what the hell is going on with the NBA. Giannis, I believe his contract is up after this season, and the Warriors apparently have been making a 2021 2020-2021 season, his contract expires. So one more season. The Warriors have been planning for, they say, quote unquote, years
to make this a big, known. Hard this has run. Been known. This has been known.
So, you know, if he doesn't win a championship next year, I could see him being ready to leave because the Bucks haven't gotten many, like a big supporting cast around him. They got Chris Middleton, who finally became an all star. He's a good player. But if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're competitive, all you want to do is win, and you are one of the, if not the best player in the NBA right now, are you going to want to play with Chris Middleton and Bledsoe, or are you going to go play with Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry?
Well, that's the thing with Giannis is that you see all these other like powerhouse teams in the NBA. There's at least two superstars, at least two. Giannis doesn't really have another superstar.
He doesn't next have year. A superstar.
I wouldn't consider Chris Middleton a superstar.
No,
you know
he's a quality.
That's the thing,
player.
Though. Like, he doesn't have another superstar, but for Giannis's game, that team is perfect.
Yes,
that's the thing. Like, the team is perfectly structured.
He wouldn't fit in well with the Warriors. I feel like,
last year, really, like the only superstar on Toronto was Kawhi. Like, I wouldn't consider Kyle Lowry like this superstar. Like. I would. And Pascal Siakam, yes, he was good, but like he wasn't considered a superstar.
No.
And Kyle Lowry, yes, he's been in the league. He's just a veteran presence. That's the thing. Like I would just consider him a veteran presence. It's not like he scored like a shit ton in the finals or even over the season.
He actually had a few off games during the playoffs.
Exactly. Like it's not like he was just. It was really – I thought it was just Kawhi and a bunch of role players that played really well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you have going on in Milwaukee. Like, you just have Giannis and a bunch of role players that play really well amongst him because it fits his game. Because Giannis just basically stays in the paint all day. Like, that's where his game lives. Like,
so the reason I think it would work is because you have a guy – you have, like, two main guys who are going to handle the ball for the Golden State Warriors. You got Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Klay Thompson helps, but he's not, you know, he's not a point guard. He mainly sits in the corner and catches and shoots because he's deadly. Yeah. But you got Draymond Green, who is he's not going to score a lot of points. You know, he's not a scoring guy. He's a defensive rebounding and he's a playmaker. As weird as it is to say, a guy at his size, he's a great playmaker. He can pass. He can call pick and rolls. He can dribble. And then you got Steph Curry, who's the best ball handler and, you know, a great passer. You know, everything.
Yeah.
So we were worried about the whole Kevin Durant thing because it was like, can they really afford to add another shooter into this already incredible three-point shooting line?
I mean, I was worried, but
that was the thing that was like very commonly talked about. It was like, can they really fit another elite shooter into this shooting lineup? Because it's just people are going to be begging for the ball, and it worked. So now when you consider Giannis being basically a seven-footer, you know, with insane athleticism, speed, jumping ability – you put him in a pick and roll situation with Curry handling the ball, and if Giannis can develop, like he's been working on his 3-point shot. We saw it last year; he was shooting it more. He was feeling more confident. You know, if he can suddenly run a pick and roll with Steph Curry or Draymond Green, and you can run him with like a pick and fade, and he just like takes one step out off the pick behind the 3-point line.
Yeah,
give the guy one pump fake and drive hard. Like that's gonna be an unstoppable offense.
Oh no, well I mean it's no doubt that it would be unstoppable. Like Giannis is a specimen. And honestly, you could put anyone into the Warriors offense, and like any superstar at all, no matter who they are, I LeBron would even work in that because of the way that the game is played in Golden State. Everyone is touching the ball. Everyone, it's ball movement heavy. That's a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone can work in that offense. I mean, there's no doubt that if Giannis was there, it would be absolutely unstoppable, but. I couldn't stand seeing the Warriors win like freaking four more championships with that guy there.
And if you think about it too, it becomes even more deadly because they have a first round draft pick. Like, and they're
exactly
gonna
like they're probably gonna either get Wiseman. Anthony Edwards or Wiseman. Like that,
they're probably gonna get Wiseman.
That's what they're gonna do. So,
dude, it's unbelievable.
Wiseman could be their big guy if they don't get Giannis.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, possibly. Yeah,
very true.
Wiseman could be their big guy.
Talking about unbelievable, we're going to move on from this one. Elon Musk.
Yeah, well, Elon Musk, what's the guy doing?
Elon Musk is having a moment right now, fellas. All right?
Yeah.
Like, having a moment,
right? Did the guy have a small stroke?
Did
he smell burnt toast?
His wife tweeted like the explanation of like the kid's name.
Yeah, do you know it or not?
What is it?
I don't know. It didn't right, make sense.
So it makes sense to me, and I'll explain. I don't know the X part. So
the X is the variable in just all math equations that has no number. Like, it's just the X variable.
Okay, so the X variable is the X variable, right? That's what the X stands for. The AE is a special character. It's AE combined, right? And that stands for AI. The A12 is the only thing that Elon Musk made up in that name. The wife, Grimes, which is an electronic arts music maker. She's a producer. She's somewhat well-known. I don't know if she's gotten really big hits. But anyway, so she made up basically the front part of the name. Elon made the A12 up. And the A12 stands for, I think one of the aircrafts that came out after
Yes, it's one of his aircraft or something like that.
No, it's not his aircraft, but it's like there's some military aircraft that he absolutely loved.
Oh, the precursor to SR-17.
Yeah, yes, the SR-17 is a beautiful aircraft. That's the one with it's totally black. It looks like a falcon.
No weapons, no defense, just speed.
Yeah. It's just
Yo, Will, you on CNN Entertainment right now, bud?
I am on CNN right now. Yeah. Someone fucking crucify me. I'm on CNN.
Yeah, I don't know if I could get behind that right now. Will.
Get off CNN.
The A is Archangel, which is my favorite song.
Her favorite song.
Her favorite song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it the A12? Because I remember I was watching the Elon Musk. He was on Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he was on Joe Rogan today, I believe. And I was watching that, and he was explaining what the name was, and he was explaining what his part was, right? What's up?
That's like they were joking around on like Twitter how to pronounce it, and someone was like, "It's pronounced Rachel."
Wait, how?
I don't know.
It's just like a joke. Like someone was just like messing around.
Oh, okay.
They were like, "Oh, how do you pronounce that?"
it's like X-Ash.
Like
it's XAI. So like, it's like pronounced Ash, but it's AI.
Now there's there's controversy with this name because in California it's the law that your name has to be 26 letters of the American alphabet.
Really?
Yes, and the kid was born in California, I think.
Oh boy!
So the number creates like a whole different and like another the symbol
stupid
creates,
law.
Like,
another stupid law in California.
Dude, this is why.
Easy, Greg.
I fucking hate California.
Maybe someone could back up my information. Maybe give us a little bit of a reassurance. But
hold on. Imagine he takes the 12 and literally spells out 12. Like that'd be some funny shit, though.
But like, how do you even penalize that? Like, when you go to his house, knock on his door, and be like, "Oh, you're arrested for naming your kid."
They're putting the baby in
cuffs. Giving you a Will, fine. You are correct. Will, you are correct.
It's
California.
Listen, man.
California state rules calls for name that only use 26 alphabetical characters for the English language. No numbers, special characters, or dash can be used for names.
Now look up if the kid was born in California.
So, how do you go to a hospital, right? You have your baby, and you're like, "I want to name it XE-8-12, and the doctor's is like, "We can't do that for you, sir. This is California."
Well, when you make a lot of money, California's kind of do whatever the fuck you want.
California's fighting it. And I just looked it up. California's fighting it.
Really? That's so stupid. Why can't they just?
Of course they would. That's the law.
California
that's
fighting
the law that they're fighting.
Greg, hold on, Greg. Is California
the
fighting the law or are they fighting the name?
Fighting I don't know, honestly. Either way, either way, it's probably the most pointless thing on the face of the planet. And
but that's the time.
It wouldn't surprise me that California would be doing that.
How much is Elon Musk worth? How much is he worth,
Elon,
guys?
Elon Musk worth
millions.
Billy, isn't it billions?
$39.6 billion.
Yeah, billions. He's a.
I don't get what's up with these fans.
He's gonna make. Dude, he's gonna make a generous donation to the Democrats of California, and it's all.
Oh,
probably.
Probably.
See,
probably.
Okay.
Will, you see this rug?
Swept right out of the rug. Is a generous donation of $10 million.
Elon Musk's the name is odd, but I don't think it beats Kim and Kanye's baby name.
Dude, we're not talking about this. I hate those two people.
Northwest
famous people, man. Dude, it's famous people.
Not, It's not all famous people.
Yes, it is.
It's not all famous people, though.
Stop.
Dude, the guy from Coldplay decided to name their daughter Apple. Like, what?
That's pretty shot, though. That's pretty shot.
Come on, man.
Aren't they gay?
Dude, but nothing is nothing is worse than North.
The guy from Coldplay's married to Gwyneth Paltrow, bro.
Yeah, they named their kid Apple.
And Gwyneth Paltrow's shot too, bro. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow's got some company.
But imagine
that makes me want to like go there and just burn the whole thing down. Like, no, FBI, CIA, whatever the fuck's listening to this, don't worry, I'm not burning the place down. But guess what? The place needs to be burned down.
Imagine growing up being named North, Saint, Som, or Chicago.
Dude!
Can you imagine?
Dude, it's all famous people. That's how it is.
I don't give it. I don't.
Yeah, but dude, there's something about the Kardashians. Like,
oh no, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, the Kardashians just pissed me off.
Yo, what's up, Chicago? What up,
man?
How do you dap Chicago?
How'd you get the name Chicago? Did you grow up in Chicago? Nah, I grew up in Beverly Hills. Yo, I'm mad privileged.
That's gonna be all the time for today.
Let's end it.
Remember to follow us on social media. Instagram, Twitter, @ LI Schmucks. Facebook, @ Long Island Schmucks. Remember to go to our YouTube, Long Island Schmucks. Subscribe, like, comment, turn on post notifications.
Do all of it.
Let us know what guests you want next and see if you can help us get them.
Yes. Another, yeah.
And also send us videos of Schmucks. Yeah. Big thank you to Ryan LaFlare. Go follow his Instagram. It is LaFlare, right?
I think it's
LaFlare.
Let me check. It's LaFlare, LaFlareMMA.
Got it. Okay, so go follow that. That wraps episode 4. We'll be back next week with some more Long Island Schmucks. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in,
Schmucks. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
That's a wrap.